vanish, was going to go into extinction. Jesus has been nailed to the cross, and the disciples are scared. You know, I don't know what we sometimes envision was going on during those couple of days, but I'll tell you, the Bible's clear. They were afraid. It didn't just end. The Romans just didn't stop with, okay, you know, Jesus has been crucified. The Jewish leaders just didn't stop and say, okay, everything's, all bets are off now. Just go back to your home. Now, let me tell you, the mob mentality is still there in Jerusalem. Doors are still being kicked in. What do we find the disciples doing in the upper room? The door is locked. They're scared to death. And here in this story, we have one of the stories that we find on resurrection morning there. We have these women come to the tomb, and one of those, we're going to look at Mary Magdalene. And she comes to the tomb, and I've got to tell you, we probably minimize the seriousness of that. This woman is going out, and she is going to identify with a dead man. A dead man that's been put down by the Romans and the Jewish leaders. It's almost as though she is defying, and it's almost as though, you know, she's got her own death wish by doing this. You're going to identify with the man the Jewish leaders had killed. The disciples are scared. They're locked in the upper room. Folks have left town on the road to Emmaus. They've gotten out of Jerusalem, the disciples have, the followers of Jesus. And you have these women that come to the tomb. Mary Magdalene, of course, in John chapter 20. And she comes to the tomb and she encounters the angel, and he has that question. You know, why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, she was there seeking the dead, wasn't she? They were going to finish the burial. The preparation for the body of Jesus had to be rushed on Friday afternoon before the Sabbath day. So they had to hurry the preparation of his body, and so they get him in the tomb late Friday. And so she's come back now on early Sunday morning to kind of finish the preparation of the burial of his body here in this tomb. And so she's there seeking the dead. But the angel there, why do you seek the living among the dead? You see, the disciples, Mary as well, they still had a Friday mindset. Sunday morning hasn't kicked in, the mindset that you and I hold today. They don't have that yet. It's still a Friday night mindset. So John chapter 20, look in beginning in verse 11 of John 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" When they call her woman there, they're not trying to be disrespectful, like, you know, woman. That's not what they're saying there. But, you know, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. You say, how doesn't she know who Jesus? Well, Jesus has just been crucified. I mean, she's not there even expecting. She's come there looking for the dead. She's not coming looking for the living. And so she doesn't recognize Jesus. She's going to think he's some gardener there. And he asked her, again, "Woman, why are you crying?" Here's our question. Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And she said to her, Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Abboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, verse 17, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And that's our question here this morning. That's the question is, you know, we're thinking about what are you looking for? Who have you come looking for? That's the question. You know, Jesus, oftentimes indeed, Jesus, when people were looking for him, sometimes they were disappointed. Because when they came looking for Jesus, they were looking for something different than what he really was. Sometimes people came to Jesus, you know, they wanting Jesus to be the miracle worker. And that's all they wanted. Or maybe to be fed a meal. Now, did Jesus perform the miracles and feed the crowd? And did he heal the sick? Yes, he did. But that wasn't the purpose of his coming. Those things simply declared who he was and what he was there to do, which was to save man. And so sometimes people are looking for Jesus, but they get disappointed because they're looking for a Jesus that is not presented for us in Scripture. You know, today it's the same way. Sometimes people are looking for Jesus, for a Jesus that'll take their problems away. Jesus will fix all your problems. Some churches even preach that. If you just trust us and give us a little bit of money, your marriage, your health, your finances, everything will be just right. We don't preach that kind of message here because the Bible doesn't preach that message. That's not what it says we're to be looking for with Jesus. He'll just take away all of our problems. Some people are looking for a vending machine Jesus. You know, you just say a couple of prayers and God will spit out, you know, a blessing. Again, some people are looking for a Jesus that will be like a puppet, that'll do what they want to do. God will believe what I believe. God will vote the way I vote. God will think the way I think. They're not looking for the God who made us in His image. They're looking for a God in their own image. And so a lot of folks sometimes are disappointed because that's not the Jesus that they find in the Scripture. And it's interesting, Jesus doesn't tell, you know, He doesn't tell her to stop crying. He doesn't take the hurt away. He doesn't take what she's going through away. It is interesting what He does. He sends her on a mission. He says, you go tell my apostles. You know, it's interesting. The word apostle means one sent, a messenger sent to tell someone. Here the messengers are sent a message. I think that's interesting here. The first missionary, really, is this woman. Like the Samaritan woman as well, you know, these women, they go and they bear that message. And they're going to go and tell those apostles that the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ, the tomb is empty. And here she's crying, and what Jesus does is He gives two things. He gives two things for her fears. He speaks about a rising, and He speaks about a new relationship, an adoption. We would say. He speaks about a rising, that He has not yet ascended, but He's going to. And we will ascend with Him. And He speaks about this relationship. My God, your God, my God. He talks about this rising and this adoption. And that alleviates the fear. That's what He's talking about. Have faith in me. Have faith in my rising. Have faith in your adoption. That's what you need to have faith in. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that Jesus says more often in the Bible is, do not be afraid. You know that? Do not be afraid. Sometimes churches, their message is more about fear. You know, you better be just right, and you better have everything perfect in your life. And, I mean, the message really that comes across is a fearful kind of message. Jesus says the very opposite. Do not be afraid. And here's why. Because He's rising, the resurrection, and a new relationship that he's going to bring in here. This rising and this relationship, He wants to bring us into His family. The New Testament speaks of this. Jesus wants us to be His sons and daughters of God. Jesus, our elder brother, our friend. We talked to the kids about. Jesus said, I'm your friend. I lay down my life for my friends. Greater love has no one this than to lay down his life for his friends. And the Bible speaks about this. This is the friend that we can turn to. He gives us comfort with our fears about a rising and an adoption. Years ago, some 60 years ago, in the eastern part of Kentucky and West Virginia, some 60 years ago, in a very poor community in the Appalachian Mountains, there was a man who had his wife, and he had three children. His oldest was a 12-year-old daughter. And suddenly his wife dies. And this is a very poor community, again, many years ago. And so, shockingly, in just a few weeks, this father finds a new wife. And he comes and he comes outside the gate of their home, and the kids have just gotten home from school. And he basically tells them, I found a new wife, and she doesn't want any kids. You're going to have to find a new place to live. True story. And they weren't even allowed to go in and get their stuff. He went in and got some of their stuff. And some of the people that lived in that community start to see that. You know, as it gets dark, they hear these kids out there. They see these kids weeping. And they start to go out there and collect them and try to comfort them. And they begin to kind of scramble around in the coming days to try to find a home. Is there any relatives that we could contact? I mean, there's no phones. There's no computers. You know, they don't have any of that contact. They're trying to find, is there any relatives maybe that's nearby? They couldn't find any. Well, they hear about a gospel preacher that was known to take in orphans and children like this. And they found homes for the two younger ones. They didn't find one for the 12-year-old girl. Because, you know, 12-year-old girl, she's maybe got lots of problems and issues. They might think, you know, I'll take the little ones, but, you know, sorry if you're 12, but, you know, they might take the cute little babies or the young ones, but, you know, nobody kind of was willing to take this 12-year-old girl. They were scared of that. And so this gospel preacher is contacted, and they say, you know, could you take her in for a little while? And temporarily, and he says, no, she can stay here. She can stay here in our home. And he goes to this, they make the contact to bring her to this man, and she comes in their home, and this man looks at her, and she's all frightened and terrified, and he tells her, he brings her over to her, and she's just scared, and she's skinny, and she's just, again, been through so much an ordeal. And he says, you know, little girl, you don't know who I am. You don't know who we are. But if you're looking for a home, if you're looking for a name, if you're looking for a daddy, you can come here and live with us. Wayne Hatcher was his man. Jim Hatcher was his son, and he writes in a little booklet, Adopted for Life. He says, That's when I got my new sister. He said she became my oldest sister, Dolly. She became my favorite sister. He goes on to say, you might think we shouldn't have favorites, but I don't care. He says she became my favorite sister. The day that Dad went and got her and brought her into that home. You know, today we've got a lot of different laws and things that you can't do it that way anymore. Times were different then. But he brought that little girl in, and Jim describes in his little booklet how this girl would try to earn her place in the family. She would always want to be doing chores and clean, and the dad would always, the father would always tell her, you don't have to do that. You don't have to earn your place here. You are a part of the family now. You are my daughter. And she still wanted to do that, and one day she wanted to clean out the freezer, and so he said, okay, go ahead and clean the freezer out. And, she forgot, and so later on that day, they had supper, and she's at the table, and she remembers all of a sudden, I didn't clean that freezer out, and so she's upset, and she starts crying, and she runs out, and the dad, you know, Wayne doesn't know what's going on, and he finally goes out to her, and again, he gets down on his knees, and he says to her, you are my daughter. You take our name now. You don't have to earn your place here in this family. And that's the idea there. That's the idea of that adoption, that God took us in. We become His family. He gives us a new name. He gives us a new relationship through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's the message of Jesus here. We're not looking for a puppet God. We're not looking for a vending machine God. We're looking for a God this morning that says, I will be your God. I will give you my name. You will be my son, my daughter. That's what we've come here this morning looking for. God is not a God who will solve all of our problems. God is not a God who will take all the issues away. This is the God we find on Sunday morning in the Bible. This is this relationship, this friendship that God offers us through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Again, He doesn't promise to take our problems away. He doesn't promise to make everything easy. You know, that if you follow me, you'll have a great life, a great marriage, great health. Your kids will always mind. They'll have straight teeth, right? I mean, whatever people try to promise to people that's not in God's Word, here's what the Bible offers us. That really, it's not so much the problems are going to be taken away. You're going to get a new presence. You're going to get a relationship with the God of the heaven and the earth. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, become sons and daughters of the one true living God. The Bible tells us as well that even as we face that enemy of death, that one day that enemy has been in effect defeated. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 11 that the same Spirit that made Jesus come out of the grave lives in you. And one day, even though we die, we're going to rise again. And Jesus points to that. He speaks to His rising and He speaks to His ascension. And He calls for us as well and says, the grave is not going to have the last say. You know, I think about 2,000 years ago, Jesus dying, what those disciples were thinking on Friday and Saturday. You ever think about that? How death just seemed so permanent. We stand at the grave of our loved ones and it seems like that's it. I mean, life is over. Death just seems to be so permanent. It seems to have the final say. But that's not what the message of the gospel says. The message of the gospel is that the grave will not have the final say because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who hasn't seen Wizard of Oz, right? Surely. Great, great movie we love to watch. And of course, as Dorothy makes her way into down that yellow brick road and she's joined by her scarecrow friend and the Tin Man and the lion, that she eventually encounters the great, powerful Oz, right? You know, that they seek. And you remember how intimidating he was and the pyrotechnics and the billowing smoke and the fire and the voice that boomed, you know, fear the wrath of the great, mighty, powerful Oz, right? And they're just terrified when they first encounter him. And then they go off on their journey. And you know how the movie ends, how they come back. And, you know, was it the dog, right? What's the dog? Toto, right? He sniffs it out, right? He sees the curtain moving off to the side, you know, as Oz is in there with his levers and he's pulling the switches and he's causing all this smoke and the fire and everything. And the curtain is pulled back, right? You know that, right? And remember the voice says, never mind what that man behind the curtain, right? Let me tell you something. That's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. God pulled back the curtain of death. It does not have the final say. We don't have to fear it anymore, church. We don't have that fear. We don't live in that view anymore. Death very much is a defeated foe. Death is hovering and cornered and cowered in a little curtain like that. And Jesus Christ has just pulled that curtain back and says, you don't have to fear that anymore. I have conquered the grave. Because I rose again, you will rise again. This is what the gospel offers us, church folks, this morning. He doesn't offer us health and wealth and no problems and your life is just going to be rosy and peachy and wonderful. Maybe it will. Usually the life of a Christian comes with suffering, trial, persecution. Jesus doesn't exclude us and exempt us from that. But He says you're going to go through that. And I'm going to be with you. And you're going to bear my name and bring glory to me. And one day you will rise. You will be raised again. Just as Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, you will as well, my sons and my daughters. That's who we're following this morning. That's who we've come to see. Hopefully. Hopefully that's who you've come to seek this morning. What have you come looking for this morning? You've come looking for something maybe, surely. I hope this is what you're looking for, and I hope this is what you're going to find on this first day of the week here, as we call this Easter Sunday, when so many around the world are thinking about this. You know, I love the scripture. I'll close with this last scripture about death is defeated. I love this scripture from Revelation. Listen to how it kind of ties it all together. Revelation chapter 1, and beginning in verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the seven lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brightness. Pretty incredible figure, right? Pretty incredible image there. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me. Listen to this, folks. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to what? Death and Hades. The grave, the empty tomb. Jesus Christ says, death does not have the final say. Because those who are my sons and my daughters, they will rise again. And that's what we put our hope and faith and trust in. And we're reminded each Lord's Day as we gather to worship, to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. But if you're here this morning, and again, you've come out on Easter, we're glad you're here. Maybe it's been a while. Welcome back. This is, we hope, the God and the Savior that you're seeking this morning. Maybe you're here and you need some encouragement. Maybe we can pray with you. We'll stop what we're doing today. We'll pray. We'll hug on you. If you want to study and visit some more, if you want to talk about where you're at in your life with God, we'll do that. Questions, doubts, whatever it might be. We're here this morning because of Jesus Christ, and we hope that you've come seeking that risen Savior. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're ready to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection through your faith, repentance, and baptism. If we can assist you in becoming a child of God this morning, whatever it is that you're seeking here, we can help you with. Come as we stand and sing.